Radio Maria Play app, and on your home phone at 631-359-8743. On the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield, with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Mississippi, also on 88.1 FM WOLM Guyberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo, in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks Miami, and in Tennessee on 1280 AM WMCP Columbia with translator W277DK 98.9 FM also in Columbia. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to speak about the gift of living in the divine will. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed blessed. We are grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and we are truly blessed to be alive at this time, these times, the greatest of times. We'll begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. The Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I just jumped on my seat a little bit here because we were potentially going to be without Mother Gabriel today, but then all of a sudden she popped into the picture, and I think my adrenaline got going. So, Mother, great to see you. It would be
nice to be here.
If not less without you. Well, that's great. Well, happy Blessed Feast Day. Today's St. Matthew.
Yes, beautiful feast day.
You know, one of my favorites, only because I hope and I pray that I'm able to emulate what he did. Remember when Jesus saw him at the tax booth? Jesus could have said, okay, come here, I've got something to tell you, and went off on tangents and diatribes and trying to convince him why he should come follow him. But he didn't. He knew Matthew, and Matthew knew him. And all our blessed Lord said was, follow me. And he left everything. Now, Matthew had a very good job. I mean, not considering the Jews didn't consider it, but he had a very cushy job. He was well paid. He lived very richly. He was well protected by the Romans. So he had everything that most, if not all, the Jews did not have. And he gave it all away. So I think, again, a perfect example, I think, of giving away everything for finding this everything. And again, I love that phrase, I have found my everything in this nothing. Because it's when we become nothing, we've talked about this, Mother, when we strip ourselves, we put away all these superfluous things, and we begin to understand our nothingness, that's when we can see God. You know, it's sort of like that when the fog clears, you can see more clearly. It's like that song, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. When we get rid of ourselves, we can see the purpose. We can see God. We can see everything much more clearly. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes, God is never outdone with our generosity. You know, the more you give, the more he gives you in return. I saw that with living with Mother Angelica. She gave everything away free. All the little 57 books that she wrote, we sent them around the world free of charge. Some people would give nothing and ask for 1,500 little mini books. Some people would send $500 and ask for two or three mini books. Yeah. So the Lord took care of it. It was divine providence. She tried to convince the sisters, the Dominican sisters nearby, not to charge tuition, give away free education. She says, you're going to get more money in return through donations, but they were afraid to do that. But Mother Angelica was never afraid to step out and take big chances. Right before I entered, she was printing. It was before EWTN started. I entered in 78. EWTN was founded in 81. And we were just printing the little books when I was apostle and sending these mini books around the world. And right before I entered, she went out to this print shop and ordered $200,000 of print material, printing presses and things. And nobody knew how to print. One sister learned how to run three presses all at one time, Sister Emmanuel. And when she walked out of the store, and Sister Regina said, Mother, how are you going to pay for all of this? She said, oh, God, he's got all the money in the world. So she went to a banker and asked him to borrow the money. And he said, no, he couldn't do that. He says, you don't have any collateral. She says, you pagan. She called him a pagan. He ended up paying for it, and she paid him back. She got the money, and she paid him back. Then, you know, the first dish that she ordered, it was $600,000, and she didn't have the money. She ordered it without the money to pay for it. She did that with everything. That network is a multi-billion dollar network, and it was built piece by piece, you know. But it was like she didn't have the money for everything she ordered, all that equipment in there. They've got the state-of-the-art equipment, you know. But anyway, the $600,000 dish was out in the backyard already installed. And the man was, it became a dish farm out there. We had dishes all over. That's when we left and built a monastery north of Birmingham and gave the whole monastery over to the network because they were growing and they needed the space. So this man was at the door to collect the $600,000, and she didn't know what to tell him. She kept hemming and hawing. One of the sisters came to her. They said, Mother, you have a call on the phone. She was glad to get away from this man. She went to the phone. And the man says, Mother, I want to give you $600,000. How do you want it? She says, wire it right now. Wow. That happened in Mother Angelica's life over and over and over again. The amount of money she needed, she always got. I heard this testimony of Father Rick Thomas, who was a charismatic Jesuit priest from Florida. He decided to give everything away to the poor. So he went to live in the dumps in El Paso, and he had a prayer group of about seven people. And it was Thanksgiving time, and he told his prayer group, he says, I'm going to go out to the dumps and bring my Thanksgiving dinner. You're all invited if you want to come. There were about seven turkeys, seven hams. They expected just a few poor people to come. Well, over 300 people came. And they had food for everybody, leftovers for everybody. These poor people took food home. They had multiplication of the food over and over and over again because of Father Rick Thomas's generosity and his trust in God. So then he began to ask the Americans to send him seeds. So he had the poor people plant orchards, and they took care of the orchards. And he started a food bank. They were all living in the dumps. These poor people were living in the dumps. When he first arrived, there was a little girl that was dying, 10 years old. She wasn't baptized. He had to go 10 miles away to get a drop of water to baptize her. So then he put spigots of water in the dumps. So then people were sending him money. So he bought lumber, and he had the poor people build homes for each other. And they got paid with food from the food bank. So he started this little community of people in the charismatic renewal that would support each other, these poor people, by building homes for each other, and they would get fed. The payment was food, and it worked. But all these lawyers and doctors gave up their practices to go and work for Father Rick Thomas, and they all said that all their payments for their apartment was paid in time, their car payments were paid in time, all of their needs were taken care of. They didn't get rich, but they didn't need to be rich. Everything they needed, God gave them. God took care of. And, you know, we're supposed to live like the family of Nazareth. The family of Nazareth had everything they needed. They just didn't have a surplus of things like we have today. but they did have their needs taken care of. So the more you, I'm just trying to say this, because the more you give to the poor, the more you give to those in need, the more God will give you in return. He'll give you much more in return. And it's not like that. It's like that also, not only with physical things, but spiritual things. The more you give of yourself, the more of you give your time for others, the more you try to help people who are down and out, just need somebody to listen to them, perhaps, the more God will give you in return. It's all about charity. And the whole divine will thing is all about love. God loving us and us loving him back. Us being charitable toward one another. We take four vows. We take vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and charity. We have to be charitable toward one another. The more you do acts and rounds in divine will, the more you live according to God's will and asking him to do his will in you, the more you grow in charity. I was just reading here in this is volume 12, December 28th, 1917. He says, my humanity had no rest. Even in sleep, I had no respite, but I worked intensively. And this because having to give life to everyone and everything and redo everything within myself, it was convenient for me to work without stopping for one instant, because our Lord relived each one of our lives to perfection from the time of his conception to the time of his public life. That's a lot of work he had to do, reliving every person who would ever be's life to perfection. And one who has to give life must be in continuous motion and interrupted act. Therefore, I was in continuous act of letting lives of creatures out of myself and of receiving them. Had I wanted to rest, how many lives would not be delivered? How many without my continuous act would not develop and would remain withered? How many would not enter into me because the act of life of the only one who can give life is missing? Now, my daughter, since I want you together with me in my will, I want your continuous act. Therefore, your awake mind in act, the murmuring of your prayer in act, the movements of your hands, the beating of your heart, the moving of your glances are acts. They may be small, but what do I care? As long as there is the motion, the seed, I unite them to mine. I make them great, and I give them the virtue of producing lives. Doesn't matter how small the act is. You can be picking up a pencil from the floor. You say, Jesus, come pick this pencil up in me. It becomes a great act. Why? Because you didn't do it. You desire Jesus to do it for you. You know, we call this a kindergarten of divine. Well, we're in kindergarten. We can't do anything ourselves. He has to do everything for us. What does a mother do for a child? She does everything for the child and makes the child believe he did it on himself. So he does these. We desire to do these acts, but he does it for us. And they become divine acts, which has no beginning, no end. They're continual. And he gives them to the Father from you. He did it, but he gives it to the Father from you. He says, my acts, too, were not all apparently great, especially when, as a little one, I moaned and suckled milk from my mama. I amused myself in kissing her, caressing her, entangling my little hands with hers. Then, when I was a little older, I picked flowers. I brought the water and other things. These were all little acts, but they were united in my will, in my divinity. And this was enough. They were so great as to be able to create millions and billions of lives. So every time we do an act in divine will, it's like we're creating lives of Jesus. Why? Because he's doing these acts and they become divine lives of Jesus. Therefore, as I was moaning, lives of creatures were coming out from my moans. I suckled, I kissed, I caressed. But lives were coming out. Souls were flowing in my fingers, entangled with the hands of my mama. And as I picked the flowers and brought the water, souls were coming out from the heartbeat of my uncreated heart. And they entered into it. My motion was continuous. This is the reason for your vigil. When I see your motion and your acts and my will, now placing themselves at my side, now flowing in my hands, now in my voice, in my mind, and in my heart, I make of them the motion of all, and I give life to each one of my in my will, giving them the virtue of my own acts, and I make them run for the salvation and for the good of all. So he wants us to do continual acts. In the morning, you just say, Jesus, come do everything in and through me during this day. That's all you have to say, and he does it, as long as you don't sin fall into sin. And if you do, just ask to get right back in. Mortal sin, go to confession first and ask to get right back in. But during the day, call him into everything you do. It's a way of praying always. It's a way of recalling him to your mind. He gets tickled pink over one little thought you have of him. He loves you so much. So call him throughout the day in every little thing you do, whether it's cooking, cleaning, washing, sleeping, eating, drinking, even the enjoyments that you have, the entertainments you have. As long as you think these entertainments are of God, it's a part of God's will for you. You say, Jesus, come do this in me. Whatever it may be, you may be playing a game. If it's a good game that you think Jesus wants you to play, Jesus, come play this game in me. And you can enjoy yourself, and it becomes a divine act because Jesus does it in you.
Like, Mother, it's like constantly rejuvenating ourselves, rehabilitating ourselves. You know, the more we do this, and, you know, it reminds me of one of my favorite gospels is Matthew, since it's the Feast of St. Matthew, 5:13-16. Jesus said to his disciples, quote, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot," end quote. So again, it's almost like we're born salty. So if anyone calls you salty, it's not derogatory. It's actually a compliment. Say, thank you for calling me salty. But if you think about it, we were born salty, and it's as if the world is trying to wash the salt off of us. So now we've gotten very little salt, if any, left. Again, we don't want to be trampled on. We need to rejuvenate ourselves, allow God to regenerate us. And by doing that, we can do it most effectively through the gift of living the divine will. Because like you said, Mother, it's every moment, every day, and every act we do. And that's something we don't have to try to figure out. We're not going to be able to understand that completely. We just have to trust God. And we'll talk about trust later.
Yeah, he really wants us to trust him, to trust in everything he tells Luisa is truth. And when you're asking him to do these divine acts in you, trust and believe that he really is. As he says that each act and round we do has great power according to how much faith we have in them. And every act and round you do in divine will goes around the world, touching every soul and every heart of every person alive as much as they open to the grace to be transformed and changed. So you want to change the world, live in his divine will, but know that all you have to do is desire it and believe what he says to Luisa is true. Your faith will move mountains. You must have faith in these truths that he's giving you through these beautiful writings.
Amen. And Jesus defines through the language of heaven the definition of faith. In volume 2, he says, quote, "Faith is God." Very simple. Faith is God. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I would like to read a passage that I was reading this morning, and I think it will go along with what the Mother was saying right now. And it's from volume 31st, November 6, 1932. And it say, "Blessed daughter, do not give a thought to anything. My will has the virtue of making everything that does not belong to it die, and of changing into life of light the same weaknesses and miseries of the creature. Everything I have told you is not in virtue of the creature, but in virtue and by the power of my will that can do everything. My will is symbolized by the sun that as it rises, it ups to flight the darkness and makes it disappear and die. And since it invests the earth, it gives to all things its life of light, the same for my will. As the creature lets herself be invested by the power of its light, the darkness leaves her. Her evils die and are changed into life of light." And then after, later it say, "You must know that one who works in my divine will, her works, her acts, her adoration, her love towards God are done and formed within eternity, because my divine will is eternal and everything that one can do in it does not escape from within eternity and remains forever confirmed in works, adoration, divine and perennial love." And so what I understood, and I was meditating after reading this passage, is that the divine will has the power to transform and to change everything, even the most darkness part of our life, and they can become light. And it's like, as Jesus was explaining, it's exactly the sun. Like when the sun rises in the morning, all the darkness goes away. The things that maybe make us be afraid of, they go away, and the light brings new life. And then we see it and we say, oh, that's not that bad. Actually, it's beautiful. So the light gives forms, gives colors to everything. So basically bring life to everything. And it's the same with the divine will. So all the parts that we think are dark in our life, if we ask Jesus to come and lighten all this part of our lives that are dark, they can become beautiful. Maybe at the start of that right moment we cannot see the beauty, but then after we can feel the peace, and that's the peace of God, the peace of the divine will. And and we don't really have to do a lot. We have to desire to live in the divine will. We just, as Mother was saying, we just ask Jesus to come and do everything in us, and then we will see the results of that. We will see the peace, and we will see the joy that we have in our heart, because as Jesus say, the divine will is light. And and as he was saying, that everything we do in the divine will is eternal. So it's not something that we do in the divine will and it ends there. No, everything starts there. When we do something in the divine will, we love, or we do adoration, or we do any simple acts, it's eternal. It's an act that it never ends. It's always running until eternity. So it's always there. So it's really, we really have to do little. We just have to ask Jesus that we want to live in the divine will, to keep desiring to live in the divine will, and Jesus take that words, and he really put us living in the divine will. We just have to desire and to make the effort to abandon ourselves in his arms. Because when we do that, we are safe. It's like a child. When a child runs in his mother's arms, the mother take care of him, of the child. The child doesn't have to do anything. He's in good care. So it's the same things with Jesus, with God the Father. We just abandon ourselves in his arms, and he will do the rest.
Right. You know, once we recognize that the divine will is the entire God, I mean, think about it. I mean, since the fall, we've been living sort of on the effects of God. Now God is saying, I want you to be one with me. I mean, almost unfathomable for our intellectual base. But we have, again, go back to, you know, what we just discussed with Mother. It's faith. What is faith? Faith is God. Another thing I really was astonished when I found out, you know, we know that the divine will is a gift. It's nothing we've done to deserve it. It's once we're given the opportunity to embrace it, that's when our work begins. Are we going to work hard and try to embrace as much as we can? Or are we just going to sit back and say, well, I'll take whatever you give me? But really interesting, the name Matthew, which he received after Jesus called him, it means gift of God. I didn't know that. So Matthew means gift of God. So again, this is a gift God is constantly giving us, but we have to, again, have that faith. Do we believe this to be true? Because if we do, nothing should bother us again. If we don't, we pray to our Blessed Mother to give us the fortitude. I'll go as blunt, to give us the common sense to look at this and say, okay, I'm here. I've done nothing to deserve. I'm here. Everything around me is here. It's so beautiful. This can't be a big bang. So yes, this is a possibility. It's endorsed. The church approves it. This is the train that we've been waiting for. We've been waiting years for this train. It's pulling into the station. We cannot let this train pull out of the station without being on it. Right, Mother?
That's right. Yes, right. I don't know how much time we have before the break. Should I switch it to another sister, or did you want to?
Got about 2 minutes. So if someone wants to begin it, that's great, Mother.
You want to begin, and you can continue after, Sister Sarah.
Yeah. My meditation is...
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to see you. Mother brought in the reserves today from San Marino. I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah, we pop up like a surprise.
Good.
My meditation is from volume 8, September 7, 1908. And Jesus say, my daughter, the more things of which the soul deprives herself down here, the more she will have up there in heaven. So the poorer on earth, the richer in heaven, the more she is deprived of tastes, pleasures, amusements, tips, strolls on earth, the more tastes and pleasures she will have in God. And this can make me think of what Mother was telling before about how in the way that Mother Angelica used money. Generally, when we realize that we need to be detached from things, we can understand the money and all the things that we can use on the earth like a danger, because they can call our attention. In one sense, it's true, because if we don't use prudence, they can be dangerous. But if we make space in our heart, and if we really, with honesty, we ask ourselves how much we love Jesus, what is the place that he has in our heart. But because if we really love Jesus, if we really put Jesus in a special, in the first, in the top part of our heart, anything is a danger for us. So it's important in this way to have a balance and to have a good relation with all the things that we can use on the earth. But more than this, it's important to start not only to detach ourselves of these things, but to start to really to desire the heavenly things. If we only focus on what we have to be disattached, we only focus on what we don't have, but we are called to have an eternal heredity, the good of God. And in this sense, we can start to live in this heart in a correct way, in a holy way. So the things, the money that we can use is not more a danger, but is a good that we can use for express the generosity that God put in our heart. Little by little, Mother Angelica is an example for us more near because of the testimony of Mother, but in one sense it's for all of you because you are listening now. And in this sense, this is an eternal act in His divine will. We can reproduce only by telling this because we really believe. And it's an opportunity also to have an exam of our conscience, how I use, in what way I use the good that God has given to me, and is a way to keep in our heart all the things that we have always like a good, the things that God has given to us.
Amen. You know, we're talking a lot about Mother Angelica. We're talking about Mother Gabriel. We'll explain that for those of you who are a little curious about that when we come back from the break. I was just, again, on this beautiful feast of St. Matthew. And again, Matthew means gift of God, which is incredible. St. Matthew, when he was being martyred in the fire, this is what he said. Quote, "Jesus, you also saved tax collectors. Grace belongs to you," end quote. It doesn't matter where we've been. Yeah. It only matters where we're going. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Out of reach. At last, I found my peace. I finally arrived here. I'm starting out with laughs and wishing you the best. I'm on the other side. And I'm free, free. I finally arrived here. I'm free. I'm on the other side. I'm ready, or keeping hope at bay. I finally arrived. Just a word. I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side. I found the I'm on the other side. Finally arrived.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. I want to first talk about Radio Maria for a brief moment. We've got the Fall Mariathon that is quickly approaching. That's from October 9th to October 13th. Again, this incentive to get to get participation, really. God's allowing everyone to participate. I mean, not everyone can be on the microphone. Some wish they weren't on the microphone. Some can't be behind the scenes. Technically, we can all participate. You know, this is the ultimate communion of saints, especially with the gift of the divine will. So to help financially, to help spiritually, we all have that capability, one or perhaps even both. So please, if you can give to keep the airs full of beautiful Catholic teaching, beautiful Catholic radio, please go to radiomaria.us and give your donation, or you can simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or go to radiomaria.us. We'd like to give some gifts, incentives. I'll fall short of saying bribes, but they're gifts. We'd like to offer a Luisa Picaretta relic prayer card. We call it a relic prayer card because it is a prayer card, but it does have a relic. It has a piece of Luisa's clothing. I mean, if you can imagine that in a prayer card, issued by the Diocese of Trani of Corrado in Corrado. So please, everyone should have one of these. We learned about the woman hemorrhaging when she touched the tassels of our Lord. Perhaps that was the institution of the relic. But anyway, we're going to give this as a gift for any donation, please. And if you can make it a monthly reoccurring, that's even better. So Radio Maria knows what they have and when they're going to have it. It's always great to know that. I think each and every one of us knows that. So we hopefully can give that luxury to Radio Maria as well. We're also going to offer you a I Am Catholic card. It's about the size and thickness of a credit card. You can carry it in your wallet or your pocketbook. It says, in case of emergency, please call a priest. On the back, it prays in the divine will, the act of contrition. We hope you never have to use this, but perhaps somebody near you will need this at one point in time. This is a card that will not create any debt. On the contrary, it's an asset to you, I believe. So again, this is a gift, both the relic card of Luisa, including a piece of her clothing, and the I Am Catholic card for anyone making a donation, please. And if you're listening to this in the archives, the same offer goes anytime, as long as somebody can pick up the phone at Radio Maria. I mentioned the relic card or the I Am Catholic card. We'll send it to you as soon as possible. Again, thank you in advance for what we know you're going to do, because God knows exactly what we can do, and he's waiting for us. Remember, charity binds all other virtues. He tells us that in the Book of Heaven, and it's so beautiful. So speaking of beautiful, let's go back to Italy with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will and Sister Teresa from San Marino. Oh, I think you're muted, Sister.
Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Oh, perfect. Thank and you. Then you gave me the right word for attach my the final part, because you speak about generosity and also about beauty. And this, why? Because beauty, because I was thinking today is the Feast of St. Matthew. You ended before with speaking about St. Matthew and what he did, in, what we can read in the gospel. Jesus looked at him and the first things he looked at him in the eyes with mercy. And with mercy, what does it mean that he look at his heart, not at his face. And only God can know what is in the heart of men. And for sure he was a sinner, but God can interpret it, can understand, can feel the beauty of what was in the heart of Matthew. And also he went over the sin. And for what? For transform his heart in a beauty, in a beautiful heart. And after he look at him, he can tell him, follow me, because he was attached with his spirit to the heart of Matthew. And he quickly left the place where he was. So why this happens? Because in the heart of Matthew, there was a big desire of beauty, the big desire of beautiful things. What do we do with money? We can have a beautiful house, we can have a beautiful car, a beautiful dress in the worldly sense. But without money, with money and without Jesus, we are, in the true sense, we are poor. The first rich that we can have is Jesus in our heart. And we continue with a little note from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 33. But Jesus, turning and looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he told them, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will save it." So the danger is not the things that we can use. The danger is this, the worldly spirit that push us to use the things in a way that we have only these things. These things are only things that Jesus gave to us for express the beauty that we have in our heart. We want beauty? Yes, we have to use these things with balance and for the glory of God.
Amen. And also, you know, we should, Jesus tells Louisa and tells us in scripture too, we should never envy what someone else has. Psalm 73, I think, is a perfect example of that. Without God, we have nothing, regardless of what physically, like you mentioned, sister, physically what we have is not what's important. It's spiritually what we have. And we can have everything in an empty room, and yet we can have a full room of things and have nothing. So it's really, it's a paradox, but it's beautiful. Hello, sister.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, yourself? Is that Sister Pamela? Yes. I don't have the camera.
Yes, it is Pamela.
Hi, Sister Pamela. I'm getting pretty good with voices.
I just love how the Holy Spirit always puts everything together, like without planning it. Because Mother was talking about charity and how we need to give everything out of love. And I was reading today, reading from volume 15, which is what true charity consists in. And it said, Jesus to Louisa, "My daughter, true charity with its power can convert all things into love. Look at the fire, all varieties of wood and any other thing. It converts them all into fire. And if it did not have the power to convert everything into fire, it cannot be given the name of true fire. The same for the soul. If he does not convert all things into love, both supernatural and natural things, joys and bitternesses, and everything that surrounds her, she cannot be said to possess the true charity." Now, as he was saying this, he let many flames come out of his most holy heart, which fill heaven and earth, and then uniting together, form one single flame. And he added, "Continuous flames of love come out of my heart, and to some they bring love, to some pain, to some light, to others strength, etc. And because they come out from the center of the furnace of my love, even though they do different offices, since one is a purpose to send love to the creature, they are all flames which, uniting together, form one single flame. The same for the creature. Even though she does different things, the purpose must be love, so as to be able to make of her actions as many little flames which, uniting together, will form the great flame that will burn everything and will transform her completely into me. Otherwise, she will not possess true charity." And going back to St. Matthew, I don't know if you have watched The Chosen, but the episode when they portray the episode when St. Matthew is standing on the post with the tax collectors, and he's just really sad. Like his face looks so desperate because he has been seeing Jesus passing back and forth in front of the post. And when Jesus looked at him and he looks through his eyes, he just stays frozen, like, "Oh, what is going to happen?" And then Jesus says, "Matthew, follow me." And the image that they portrayed in The Chosen is so touching because that's each one of us. Jesus is how Sister Teresa was saying about how Jesus looks at our heart and he calls us every single day. And for me, that image, it was so amazing because, and I started crying when I was watching the episode, because it's how love, how big is his love, that he doesn't look at even your weaknesses. I mean, he just looks at your heart. And if there's a tiny little disposition of heart, be open, he uses that to call you. And he uses that to give you his love and to call you back to him. And I see that as an example in Matthew. Like, even though he didn't knew, his soul was thirsty. His soul was looking for the immensity, which is God. And when Jesus called him, he was ready to go, because he understood the immensity of the Messiah, the immensity of the Son of God, the true meaning of love, the true meaning of life. And for all of us, this is our calling, like doing everything out of love, be transformed in love. Because if we don't love, then there's no purpose of anything. And I feel like when you love and you make everything out of love, you become happy, like you become free, you become really different, like a happy person, a free person, instead of clinging yourself into attachments or things that you think they are the end of your life. Carlo Acutis also used to say a lot that he didn't understood how people are so busy taking care of their exterior, like going to the gym, like working so hard, going to careers. I mean, I'm not saying this is wrong, but the true purpose and the true intention needs to be for the glory of God, and to come back to him and to go back to your origin and your beginning, which is him. And for all the people that are still outside of the world, they can transform that into love. They can transform their jobs. They can transform their lives for him, through him, and in him. And I just feel like we need to be attentive. And also about desiring divine will is also being attentive on all the knowledges that, and not sticking it in your head, but in your heart. Because we're not going to be able to understand everything. I mean, this is an immense gift. And it's so divine. The divinity is so big that our minds is not, they're not capable to comprehend. But if we keep it in our hearts, we're going to be able to hug them and to accept whatever Jesus is telling us. Because for Luisa, it was the mission. Yeah, the mission is different. But the divine truths that are in the book of heaven is for everybody. Is to lead us to that end, which is him, to that beginning before Adam fall, and to that love that we always is always calling us continuously to be transforming that. And I just also remember in another volume, back to what Mother was saying about the acts, Jesus tells Luisa that all of our acts go to heaven, and they are waiting for us in heaven. And for me, that's really encouraging, because right now, even though we don't see it, our acts are going to heaven. And when we die, we're going to be able to see all the glory, and not for to be greedy, but to be able to be deep into the divinity, and just believe and have faith that even though you don't see anything happening around right now, you're going to see it someday. And that's the courage, and that's the encouraging for us to keep continually living in this beautiful gift that has been given to us again.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of surprises at the end of many people's lives, as some are going to be very shocked at where they're ending up, and some are going to be very thankful for where they're ended up. So I think it's all about becoming salty again. I think it's a good thing to become salty. Wouldn't you say so, Sister Elizabeth?
I would say so, definitely.
Do you like salt? You like salty pretzels or salty fish? You like salty?
Oh yeah, I really like salty foods. Yeah. Sisters, yeah.
I just read a medical article. You know, we've always been told drink a lot of water and cut down on your salt. Well, there's a doctor that said, no, that's all wrong. No, increase your salt intake and decrease your water. Too much water is not good. Too little salt is no good, because it's a conductor. It's really interesting. Everything's upside down. But like that, if Sister Magdalena is there, she'll understand what I mean. But hello, Sister Elizabeth. I'm so happy you're with us today.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here too. And also, I mean, if you invite Jesus to eat in you, you will acquire kind of divine taste, you know. You know, if you invite him often to eat in your eating and everything, I mean, in everything you do, he will give you the inspirations. And because how Sister Gemma was saying before in the program, Jesus wants our desire. It's actually, I have here the passage from volume 36 that says how easy it is, because Jesus himself says, your Jesus doesn't do difficult, does not make, never teaches difficult things. So yeah, it goes like this, from May 6, 1938. So Jesus telling to Lisa, my good daughter, it is very easy to enter my will, since your Jesus never teaches difficult things. My love makes me adapt to human capabilities so that the creature can do with no difficulty what I teach and what I want. Many times we said it's effortless when we are in the divine will. You must know that the first indispensable thing in order to enter my fiat is wanting and firmly yearning to live in it. So the desire really needs to come from the depths of our heart. The second thing is to take the first step, since once the first step is done, my divine will surrounds the creature with so much light and attraction that she loses any desire to do her own will. In fact, as soon as she takes a step, she feels powerful. The night of passions, weaknesses, miseries is turned into day, into divine strength. So she feels the irresistible need to take the second step, which calls for the third one, the fourth, the fifth, and so on and on. These are the steps of the light that embellishes the creature, sanctifies her, and makes her happy, that puts her on the right way, making her similar to her creator, to the extent that not only does she feel the extreme need to live in my will, but she also feels it as inseparable from herself as her own life. See then how easy it is, but wanting is necessary. My paternal goodness wants it too, always present in my will with grace, love, and goodness. Since I also want it, I add my contribution, my own life if necessary, to give her all the help and the means, even my own life as her own, in order to make her live in my will. I don't hold anything back when it comes to making a creature live in my will. My daughter, our love is so great that we fix different degrees of beauty and sanctity to adorn the soul in our divine will. We'll make these souls different from one another, distinct in their beauty, sanctity, and love, but all beautiful, all unique. And this reminds me how, you know, saints and the feast days of saints can give us like the inspiration, you know, for what to pray for in the divine will. Like, let's say today, you can pray for like all the people that work at the desk jobs or in the bank, or you know, that, or all the people like in to offer divine version of their lives to God, to fill their voice of love for Jesus, so that Jesus gives the full requital of glory, of adoration from them, or all the people that suffer in purgatory because of the greed and the misuse of money. Recently we visited one monastery where there was a priest from purgatory, it was 100 years ago, like appearing to a superior, and he gave a bunch of times, like more than 20 times, a bill of lira, Italian money, that they confirmed it's not made, you know, it's not made, it's from heaven. So yeah, it's just so many of these interesting things. So wherever you are, Jesus himself gives you the inspiration, you know, kind of for what to pray for in the divine will, like to do all the acts, everything that you're doing, but also making the rounds. Like, let's say, for example, if you find yourself, I don't know, I said in a bank or in a shop, like whatever you do, he puts you in that position where he wants you to be in that moment, because he wants you to do that act.
This priest in the that came to these poor Clares from purgatory, he had misused funds, and he had to spend his purgatory bringing funds to the sisters, and it was all new lira. It was brand new lira, and I forget how much he left. Quite a big sum after a while, and they had to pray for him, and he was finally released from purgatory, but he was there for 40 years, I think. 40 years
in purgatory.
Because he misused funds that were given to the church, probably. And so he had to repair for that through giving the money to the sisters. The superior there was delightful, beautiful. Pray for them because they have 7 solemn professed, and Rome is right now closing about 200 monasteries in Italy because the sisters are getting elderly. So they're making them go elsewhere. So they're praying that they can get some vocations. We're trying to help them. They take all ages. Of course, they speak Italian in the house, but they're a delightful community, very holy sisters, very special. And also there was another miracle there. This woman who had the stigmata, mystic, they let her live on the outside of the enclosure. They made her, had a little bedroom for her, a parlor, and a little chapel. And she had the stigmata. She was mystical. She prophesied some things that happened. The one was Our Lady of Revelations, that Our Lady would appear to a man who was condemning the church and wanted to kill the Pope. Bruno was his main. I met Bruno before he died at Our Lady of Revelation shrine down near Rome. Bruno was, his 3 little children were playing ball in a cave at Our Lady, right across the street from Our Lady, Trefontaine. There's a Trappist monastery there. It's head off there, and it bounced 3 times, and 3 fountains sprung up. So they call it Trefontaine. The 3 fountains are closed now, but that's where St. Paul died. There's a Trappist monastery there. Across the street is a big eucalyptus garden. I've been there many times. And there was a cave, and Bruno was writing a letter against the church. He was a communist who had been a Catholic but left the church, writing against Our Lady and the church. So his 3 little children were playing ball, and the ball went in the cave. And when Bruno looked for them, they were all in ecstasy, kneeling, and they were saying, "Oh, beautiful lady, oh, beautiful lady, oh, beautiful lady." Bruno saw the light of Our Lady, and then Our Lady began to speak to him. She says, "Why are you condemning my church?" Wow. And so he wrote a book for the church and for Our Lady after. He became very holy. And every year on Our Lady, on the feast of Our Lady of Trefontaine, they'd have masses all day long there. And I went there one time, twice actually. And the cardinal at the end of the day would do the last mass. And Bruno and his 3 children, who were grown up at that point, would give their testimony. But that was accepted by the church, Our Lady of Revelations. She prophesied that, and she prophesied something else. Oh, Pope Paul VI.
Yes. But everything, Mother, everything is, Our Lady of Revelation, I love. Everything is under the divine will, which we love. I'm sorry, Mother, we're out of time. I wish we could.
Okay, God bless you.
I'm going to end, since it's the Feast of St. Matthew, we're going to end with Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. Love everyone. God bless everyone. Ciao, Mother, sisters. Love you.
Ciao.
God bless. Be back next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Give to Radio Maria, please.